بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، على من لا نبي بعده، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. فإن آمنوا بمثل ما آمنتم به فقد اهتدوا، وإن تولوا فإنما هم في شقاق، فسيكفيكهم الله وهو السميع العليم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Most respected honorable brothers, friends in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As we draw close to the end of Dhul Hijjah for 1443, then year in and year out, the message that resonates, that is highlighted, that when we change from one year to the other, we always speak about the hijrah of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the hijrah that was made by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And there's many a lesson that we can learn, bring within ourselves from this momentous great journey, the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. But from all of the messages and the lessons, one that stands out of very great importance is that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam is in Makkah Mukarrama. Salah is already given as a gift, but Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam cannot establish that salah openly in public. So that has to be done secretly, in the secrecy of the home, in the privacy of an area, but not openly. Like that, many other ahkam were given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but for the circumstance that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam found himself in, it was not possible to execute, to implement, to practice those ahkam that we upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So what really was this hijrat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam? If you look at Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were settled. It was, many Sahaba grew up in Makkah Mukarrama. That's the homeland. They're familiar, they're au fait with the situation, with business, families, everything is in place. But Sahaba radiallahu anhum are ready to uproot the entire life structure and society and community for one reason, and that was to create a safe haven for Iman. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum left Makkah Mukarrama, come to Madinah Tayyiba, and Madinah Tayyiba now becomes Darul Iman. It becomes that safe haven for the development, the enhancing, and the practicing of Iman and the injunctions of Iman. Now it becomes very easy to perform salah, build your own masjid, and everything can be done with safety and security. Yes, we may find ourselves in a situation where we are unable to establish a Darul Iman, an entire country that is run with Islamic law. But we all have the ability of creating Darul Iman within our own homes. We are the amirs of our homes. We are the leaders of our own circles and societies. So we can create that fiza, that environment of Iman within our own homes. Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anhu is making hijrah from Makkah Mukarrama to Madinah Tayyiba. As he's en route, he's leaving Makkah Mukarrama, Kufar of Quraysh stop him in his tracks. He say, "Oh Suhaib, where to?" You came to this place, you were khalil yad, sifrul yad. You owed nothing. You had nothing to your account and to your name. You became rich in our lands and you take your riches out of the city? No ways. You're not leaving. Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anhu, immediately he addresses this kuffar and he says, Ya ma'ashara Quraysh, qad alimtum. You'll know very well, inni, that I am the best marksman amongst you. See, in this quiver of mine, I've got arrows. I'm ready to stand my ground, not to even backtrack a step. And I will use every arrow in my quiver to guard and protect myself. If that is finished, I'm not scared, intimidated by your numbers. Single-handed, I'm ready to fight with my sword until I meet my Allah. So when they see he's so resolute, he's so strong on his stance that he's ready to fight for his life. Suhaib Rumi, he says, listen, I can give you a better deal. Let's not engage in battle. The better deal is all my wealth of Makkah Mukarrama, I can identify, show you that spot. You take my wealth, but fakhallu sabili, allow me to make hijrat. All my money, my gold, whatever is in the tijori, you take it all. Everything you'll take. But just allow me hijrat. You say, deal, definitely, we're ready for this. And Suhaib radiallahu anhu wasn't a poor person, he was a very rich sahabi. But he says, I'm ready to do this. The moment he does this, Kufar say, yes, we've identified the spot, we've located all of his wealth and his treasures, you are most welcome now to leave Makkah Mukarrama. He continues on the journey. The moment he comes and he enters Madinah Tayyibah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is already informed via revelation of this act of Suhaib radiallahu anhu, that for the preservation of his iman and his deen, he was ready to give up the world and materialism. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Rabbi halbayya Aba Yahya, Rabbi halbayya Aba Yahya, O Suhaib, what an excellent deal from Allah. He's amazed. He cannot believe it, but I haven't related anything to you. How do you know? Oh, Suhaib, the ayat was already revealed regarding you. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ بَتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already highlighted your feet. That amongst men and people, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in your band of sahaba, a person has just sold his entire belongings for the pleasure of Allah. He wanted the pleasure of Allah, he secured it. The lesson for us, that when iman was so precious to the sahaba radiallahu anhum, you can take my shop, you can take my wealth, you can take my everything, don't touch my iman. And the question that we beg from ourselves is, when the deal comes on the table, are we saying, wait, hold on, this is trampling on the laws of Sharia. Leave my Sharia one side, I don't need this deal. Or are we ready to look around and make things suitable so we can compromise the Sharia for a few coppers? And in any situation that I find myself, Sahaba radiallahu anhum gave it all that they belong in this world. When the heart is attached to iman, you'll sacrifice everything. But when the heart is attached to anything, then that can never be sacrificed. Ummu Salama is the wife. Abu Salama is the husband. Salama radiallahu anhum, he is the son. Family gets ready, all on one camel, ready to embark on this journey of hijrah to Madinah Tayyibah. As they come to the outskirts of Makkah Mukarrama, as they come to the outskirts, then the family of Ummu Salama come and they grab her out of the animal and conveyance and they say, hold on, where are you going? This lady belongs to our family, she stays here. You are more than welcome to leave. So they stop him, they take the wife down. So he's a little bit torn. His wife is left behind. What does he do? The command of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to make hijrat. Then his family comes, Abu Salama himself. There's a tussle, there's a tug of war between the two. The girl's family is saying, we keep the child. The boy's family is saying, no. And eventually, the boy's family had the upper hand. They took the child away. To say, he carries our surname. He's part of us. So Abu Salama is really torn. His wife cannot come and accompany him on this journey of hijrah. Imagine his young child, young small son, Salama. He's also torn, separated. Husband is all alone. Now what does he do? And then the wife gestures to him that, listen, this is for the pleasure of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You want to be with Nabi sallam, you continue. Husband is separated from his wife, separated from his child, but he continues on this journey with the du'as and the blessings of his wife. But the wife is left behind in Makkah Mukarramah. She doesn't have the leisure of even looking after her child, separated. They are apart. Every day, the mother, Abu Ummu Salama, goes to a mountaintop and she would sob, she would tear, she would cry until she couldn't cry anymore and come back down at the end of the day to her family. And every day she did this. She wanted to continue on the journey, but how does she leave her masoom, little, innocent child behind? So she's waiting for an opportunity, someone can have mercy upon her. And eventually, one year later, a person somehow was passing by. He sees a lady in tears. He says, but what's the matter? So she explains and he knows better what had happened. So he comes, speaks to the family and he says, listen, I think so we're killing this lady very silently. Every day she is crying and she wants to be, her heart is in Medina, let her go. So they said, no problem. They gave her permission. She comes to the husband's family. I've got permission. Can I take my child? By all means, there's the child. You can carry on and link up with your husband. So they meet up. Now the mother has the child, goes on to the animal, and she's leaving on this journey. As she comes little bit out of Makkah Mukarramah, Usman bin Abi Talha, who was not yet a Sahabi at that moment, he sees her and he asks her that, Awama ma'aka ahad? Excuse me, lady, where are you going? She says, I'm going to Medina Tayyiba. Wow, that's a very far and distance for you to travel all alone. You don't have anyone accompanying you on this journey? No. She says, Ma ma'i ahadun illallah wa ibni hadha. The only people with me is Allah first, but I've got my child with me. So he was amazed, like, how does this lady travel this distance? He says, I'll do you a favor, and I'll take you, I know where your husband is residing in Medina Tayyiba, I'll take you there. So he accompanied her and he delivered her to the place, and he comes back. Now this was that strength of Iman, that Abu Salama continued, Ummu Salama followed. It was the strength of Iman, that bond between this family was unparalleled in Medina Tayyiba. That the love that Ummu Salama had for Abu Salama radiallahu anhu was unparalleled. It was really a match made in heaven, we would say. People knew that this couple loved each other to pieces. And then comes the time, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken the life of Abu Salama. Abu Salama passed away. Ummu Salama is in tears. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes and he says, Ummu Salama, the dua that I teach you whenever there is any difficulty, calamity that befalls you, Allahumma jurni fi musibati wa akhlifli khayran minha. O my Allah, reward me in my difficulty and grant me better. Wa akhlifli khayran minha. She turned to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, dua accepted. But you think anyone better than my husband? Wa akhlifni, I understand the message. Someone better than my husband? Nabi Sam said, read the dua, Allah knows what's to play out. You read the dua. So with yaqeen, her iman was there, she had strength of iman, she recited this dua with yaqeen. And eventually, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to propose for Umm Salama. At that moment, she couldn't believe herself. You see, I read this dua once upon a time. Nabi sallam taught me to read this dua. Allahumma jurni fi musibati wa akhlif li khayra minha. But I cannot believe myself that I will be amongst the azwaj mutahharat, the ummahatul mu'mineen, amongst the mothers of the believers. And she got married to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The greatest strength we all have in any calamity is iman. If, example, a lady becomes a widow, or a lady is divorced, or a person lost his only son who was running the business, and now he's retired, we think, who's going to look after me, how the business is going to run, what's going to happen to the accounts. Sometimes shaitan plays with our mind, and he brings these thoughts. Now what's going to happen? You lost whatever, your car got hijacked, whatever be the case, your wife is diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, or you need to go for a bypass and she's worried whether she wouldn't see you again. At that moment, or at the loss of, or at any calamity, if we have iman at heart, that in any calamity, I'm never alone, Allah is with me, there's never a chance for us to be depressed. We'll never be low, we'll never be lost, because we know we've got Allah with us. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making hijrah. We know the price tag on the Mubarak head of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 100 camels. Like seeing 100, you know, cars of today. Now everyone wanted that prize, and everyone was scattered on the outskirts in search and pursue of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And halfway approximately through the journey comes a person by the name of Suraka. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sees him. He's close on our tracks. He's crying. Abu Bakr is crying. Nabi Sam says, Abu Bakr, ma abkak, what makes you cry? Why are you crying? He says, Ya Rasulallah, I'm not worried about myself. Suraka is behind, he is here to behead you. The price is 100 camels. He's not going to stop short of killing you. He's so close. No one has seen us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, oh Abu Bakr, nothing to worry, Allah is with us. If he's this time, it will happen. If he's not this time, it won't happen. Allah is with us, we're not alone. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks back, he sees Suraka. Whatever be the case, that was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his horse sinks into the ground. So he looks, he says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Muhammad, this is because of you. If you make dua that I come out of this, you pray to Allah that I come out of this, I'll leave you alone. So he comes out, his horse is out of the ground, and he can see this movement in the horse. Second attempt to attack Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Eventually he goes down second time. O Muhammad, it's all because of you. But listen, if you save me from this, you take me out, I'll de-root everyone from here. I'll tell everyone you're not in this area. So he third time he tried again to attack Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He failed for the third time. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Suraka, O Suraka, كَيْفَ بِكَ إِذَا لَبِسْتَ سِوَارَ كِسْرَى. O Suraka, you worried about the price of 100 camels. How you tell me about the day that may come, you will be wearing and you will own the jewelry of the emperor of Persia. How about that? He's thinking to himself, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam only got one guard. That guard is even in tears. What treasures is he talking about? كَيْفَ بِكَ إِذَا لَبِسْتَ سِوَارَ كِسْرَى. But anyway, be as it may, he told Nabi Sam, right, last chance, but I'm moving away for sure. Turns around, he detours everyone. He says, listen, Nabi Sam, I just came from this area. Nabi Sam is not here. Check in any other route. And Nabi Sam continued on the journey of Hijrah. In the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, how many years later? In the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, when they conquered Persian lands and the treasures come, And everyone's waiting for the spoils of war to be distributed. Umar radiyan says, wait, this doesn't go into the treasury. Call Suraka for me. Suraka comes. He's lost for words. Why is Amirul Mu'mineen calling him? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar radiyallahu anhu says, oh Suraka, Allahu Akbar. You remember what your Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to you the day you pursued him. There's the treasures of Persia for you. So sometimes we make an effort, but the fruits of it, we may see down the line, years down the line. You're making dua and you're crying and you're tearing to Allah. Ya Allah, you cure me from this sickness of mine. Ya Allah, I will do wonders. And you see nothing happening. You're still in cancer and then you relapse and you're back into it and you're crying to Allah. One day, inshallah, it will get answered. We make dua, sometimes we give sadaqah, we try different things for shifa, for afiyah, for whatever is our ambition and our goal and aspirations, we want to reach something. But that one day we'll get there. One day we will get there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes hijrat, Madina Tayyiba. Again, what was it? The strength of iman of sahaba radiallahu anhum. Abdurrahman bin Auf, we know him to be amongst the most richest of amongst the sahaba radiallahu anhum. From the richest sahaba, Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu. Yet, he came to Madina Tayyiba, he owned nothing. Akha Rasulullah sallam baynahu wa bayna Sa'd ibn Rabi. O Abdurrahman, your Muslim brother is Sa'd bin Rabi. Allah forgive, blood brothers are in court. Your Muslim brothers, Nabi sallam says, yala brothers. Sa'd bin Rabi says, O Abdurrahman, Nabi sallam said, you my brother. Listen, you know I'm the most wealthiest of people in Madina Tayyiba. Half my assets I'll give it to you. I'm married to two women. You have a look. The one you like, I'll divorce her. You can get married to her. Ready to sacrifice. Why? It's the command of Allah. I've got iman. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made me your brother, there has to be reward in this. Take half my assets. And today we know when there's a call for any donations to the masjid, to the madrasa, to some organization, to some effort, or whatever is required. We're looking for extra to give. If there's extra, we're giving. You're not extra. Here he's giving his asset away. He said, take half of the assets away. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu says, no, no, no. I don't need any handouts. Dulluni ala souk. Just show me where's the marketplace. I'll have humble beginnings. Allah will bless me. And he started selling kajur, handful, one handful, bi'aqitin wa saman, meaning with cheese, ghee, melted butter. That was his initial investment. And eventually a time came when Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu gave 700 fully laden camels in sadaqah one day. In one day he gave it. He says, no, this goes sadaqah, fi sabilillah. But humble beginnings, halal, iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of iman of sahaba radiallahu anhum, one lady, Ghamidiya, she committed zina. She comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she says, Ya Rasulullah, inni qad zanitu fatahirni. Inni qad zanitu fatahirni. I've committed zina, please, I want purity. I want you to, please cleanse me. The fire of Jahannam is beyond my ability, I won't manage. She's coming and she's asking for the hajj. And we know today, we will commit zina and we will hide it. A person is involved in drugs and you're still trying to validate, but I wasn't intoxicated. I knew what was up from down. There's certain three rules, the boys know about it. If these three things are found, then no worry, you're not drunk. Then it's halal, you can have one, two pulls. Na'udhu billah. Haram is haram. So here she comes and she says, Ya Rab, tahirni. Nabi Sam turns around. She comes again and again. He says, Ya Rasulallah, I am pregnant. Nabi Sam says, okay, no problem, go give birth and come back. She gives birth. She had so many months to make some excuse or to run away, abscond. She comes back. She says, Ya Rasulallah, there's the child. I committed zina. Nabi Sam says, no, no, no. Go and wean this child off. When the child is weaned, you come back. So she comes back and she makes sure when she brings this child, the child is holding a piece of food in the mouth and eating. says, Ya Rasulallah, there's the proof that the child is weaned off, doesn't require me. I require this hand and this penal law. Please keep, whatever is required. Maybe somebody said, well, we'll have to stone you to death. She's ready for it. As long as I'm safe from the punishment of Akhirat, I'm ready for this dunya. Eventually, Sahaba radiallahu anhum pelted her to death. And in that moment, one drop of blood splashed onto the temples of Khalid radiallahu anhu. When that hit him, he said something in disgust like, you know, imagine the blood of a zaniya came on my face and he wiped it off. Like something so bad. Nabi Sam said, Mahlan ya Khalid. O Khalid, be warned, be warned. The tawbah that this lady who committed zina made, if any person in the ummah who committed the worst sin ever made her tawbah, Allah will give that person jannah. She's made such sincere tawbah. That was the effect of her iman. That was the sign of iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each one of us the tawfiq, that ability that we make an effort on our iman. Our strength and our real strength is the strength of iman. Closing the topic, how do we develop our iman? How do I enhance? I'm worried about iman. We came into this world, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. First thing, you need to know Allah is the greatest. No one can do anything. The first question when you pass away, Ma Rabbuk, about iman. Akhirat, you're standing on the plains of Qiyamah. Fariqun fil Jannah wa fariqun fil Sa'ir. What's required? Iman. Iman is required. Pious person went to buy some fruit. When he went to buy his fruit, so he took out his money, he gave it. The shopkeeper turned around, took the bag of fruit away, told the person, take your money and move. He says, what you mean? He says, this money is fake. How do I give you any fruit? That buzruk started crying. Shopkeeper said, hold on. We've allocated some funds for the poor and destitute. Listen, you take your fruits and go away home. He says, no. I'm not crying because I couldn't buy fruit. I'm crying because I gave you money, you told me fake, you wouldn't give me fruit. What will happen to me on the day of Qiyamah when Allah sees you and Jannat bring your iman and Allah sees it's fake? Then what's going to happen to me? So how do I enhance that iman? Are we going to say, shukar alhamdulillah, I read Karima, I'm a Muslim, I read La ilaha illallah, I'll get my Jannat. Whatever, I'll get my Jannat. Are we going to say that? Or we want awwalul wahla, awwalul dukhul, the first entry, the highest level in the neighborhood of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number one, what we need to do is we need to make shukr. Son gets admission in the medical school, Allahu Akbar. Hey, we'll slaughter one cow also. You got place. You know how hard it is for us to get. 95% plus, that too, there's a quota for it. See, shukr he got. We'll do what? Wonders we'll do. He got his space. Allah gives shifa to someone from his cancer or whatever, and there's no sign of it. We'll do a lot of things, mashallah. Whenever did we read two rakats of shukr namaz? Ya Allah, you gave me iman. Ya Allah, you gave me iman. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. When we make shukr, Allah will increase. Number one. Number two, make dua. Make dua for the strength of our iman. Make dua for the preservation of our iman. يَا مُقَلِّبَ الْقُلُوبِ ثَبِّتْ قَلْبِ عَلَى دِينِكَ رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. Making dua for our iman. Allahumma ihdini wa saddidni. Allah guide me, keep me with strength of iman. Wa saddidni. None of us have guarantee on that final moment whether kalima will come out or not. You've got no guarantee. Allahumma ihdini wa saddidni. And the third one is that the environment of iman should be maintained, should be kept in our homes. Simple, easy. You don't have to give bayan. Before eating, at a convenient time to the family, fazail-e amal, and we read fadaili amal, that will enhance our iman. Why? Oh, we read Hayatul Sahaba, the incidents of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. That will jolt some iman within us. Why? Sahaba with the benchmark of iman. Sahaba with the criteria. Ummah, you looking for iman? Like Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala.